All right, if you'd like to join me in Luke chapter 2, we're going to do a, hopefully it's not a traditional Christmas message that you've heard a million times, but I'm hoping it gives a little bit different perspective of one of the feelings and themes that Christmas gives us. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, if you'd like to turn there with me. Last week, we talked about the signs, the symbols that are all around us during the Christmas season that point us back to the Savior, that give us reminders of the Savior. And every time we see these different symbols, we're reminded of the one who is given to the world to save the world through his life and his death. Today, let's start with Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Interesting thing is, last week we saw that in our children slash some adult pageant that we had, there was angels that had come to Mary and Joseph, and angels that came to the shepherds. And then we talked a little bit about the star that led the wise men, maybe a couple years later, but shortly later, early on in Jesus's life. So we see an angel here. But the angel said to them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I want you to look at one particular word, and that is joy. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We're going to look at the theme of joy. And so today's message is called "The Joys of Christmas." Even though we might go through tough situations, especially this time of year, I'm reminded because the students at my school and at every school, or I should say most probably, they tend to act out the week right before Christmas. They tend to act out the week right before Thanksgiving. They tend to act out the week right before summer break and spring break. Why is that? And I thought to myself, you know, not everyone has an amazing Christmas time, because you've got families who are less fortunate. You have families who don't believe in anything. You have families who have abuse and drug abuse, alcoholism, different struggles going on. Why is this time of year not joyous for everyone? And I would like to suggest that even though we are going through tough situations, hard experiences, we can still experience and express joy. And I'd like to take you to Mary. We're going to look at Mary before Jesus was born. Go ahead and turn back one chapter to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I'd like for you to look at the situation that Mary was in as we read these verses, starting in verse 26. "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one.'" This is as Dan was reading this morning. I was like, wait, don't cover all of my points, but I have a few others that he didn't cover yet. "So, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at his statement and kept pondering what kind of situation this was." What's going on here? Right? Verse 30, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary.'" She must have been afraid if he had to remind her. "For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Let me paraphrase this. He's going to be the greatest man who ever lived. That's a paraphrase. You can quote me on that. "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." I don't know if you want to ponder just those few details about the life of, or about the person of Jesus. They're pretty hard to even comprehend. They're amazing. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" This isn't how it works, Mr. Angel, Gabriel. This isn't how this works. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now I'd like for you to go down to verse 46. And Mary said, My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit shall or has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." Let's stop there. I want you to consider the tough situations that you're going through right now. Maybe you're going through some major ones. Maybe you're not going through hardly any, other than preparing for family stuff this week and buying all the gifts and getting them all wrapped and hoping that Amazon delivers them all on time. But maybe you're going through something miserable. Maybe you're going through something really hard. And I want you to think about Mary. It was, you know, a couple thousand years ago. She was a peasant girl. She wasn't rich or famous. She's famous now. But at the time, she wasn't. She was very young, probably 13, 14, maybe as old as 15. That in that day and age, we don't really know for sure, but in that day and age, that was about the time that they would be marrying off and having kids. And out of this young woman who was poor, not famous, out of this woman came the greatest person to ever live. She gave birth to God's son. Why would God use Mary? Why would God use any of us? None of us are royalty. None of us are rich or famous. Why would God use Mary? Why would he call her blessed, even when things looked horrible? I looked up the name Mary, and if you Google Mary, you'll come up with a whole bunch of different things, but it's been about 2,000 years, and there aren't very few women in the history of the earth who have been honored as much as Mary has. There are some religions that even worship her. There are about 8.5 million people named Mary in just in the United States right now. 8.5 million. Actually, sorry, that was in 2000. In the year 2000, there were 8.5 million people named Mary in the United States. It is the most commonly used name, with all the different variations in the different languages, but it's the most commonly used name in all of the world for females. Mary, Marian, you know, different versions of the name Mary. Here's what we know about this young girl. Here's what we know. She was from the line of David, meaning King David was her ancestor. She was engaged to a guy named Joseph. He was a carpenter. We know that from other places. She was from Nazareth. It says in verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth." She was in Nazareth at this point. And if you know anything about this town, you'll know that it's very well known for being a poor place. They had very little wealth or no wealth. It was a very, very poor place. It was kind of the other side of the tracks, as we would say. They didn't have a lot of money. It's very safe to say that Mary was lower class in her status. She didn't have a mansion to live in. She didn't have a lot of money. She couldn't provide a lot of opportunities for Jesus. Why would God choose her? She was poor and humble. That's what we know about her. There's so many things we don't know about her, and we really have no idea what she looked like. We can guess, but we don't really know what she looked like. We don't know what kind of makeup she used, if any, probably not at that point. That's all what's important to us now is, You know, what kind of car did she drive? What neighborhood does she live in? What is her profile picture on Facebook? Does she look like she's happy and got a lot of money? Because that seems to be important on social media. We don't know if she was popular in school. We don't know if she even went to school. She probably didn't. We don't know if she had a ton of friends. We do know that she was young. Everything that's important to us now, we know absolutely nothing about her. Her looks, her social status within her peer group, we don't know anything about this kind of stuff. These are what's important to people nowadays, probably important to some back then too, but that wasn't what was important to God when he decided who was going to be carrying his child. Despite knowing nothing about these very important things, God used her to do great things. Why did God choose her? God knew, I believe, he knew exactly what he wanted, who he wanted to raise his child, to bear and raise his child. So the question, again, is why did he choose her? She wasn't rich, powerful, famous, popular that we know of. I think it's because of her attitude. And we're going to see her attitude in a response that she gives to the angel, and then later on in a song that she sings. We're going to see those her response in those two things. Let's go to verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Obviously, she was afraid. "For you have found favor with God." Why in the world would she have found favor with God? I'm not sure how I would respond if I had an angel standing in front of me. From the descriptions of how huge they are, yeah, I would probably drop down and collapse. I'm not sure, maybe die. It'd be pretty weird. I'd probably be afraid, just like she was. But he says, "You have found favor with God." And then verse 34, Mary hears her response. How can this be? Because she hadn't, you know, she was still a virgin. How can all of this stuff that you just said, how is this going to happen? It's not natural for this to happen. It must be a miracle. And the interesting thing is, it seems like an honest question. It doesn't seem like she was giving him any bad attitude or sass or questioning as far as his reliability. She was saying, "How, you know, explain to me how this works," because, and I think it was a humble question. I don't read anything in there that says that she was doing this with any sort of sassy attitude or anything. And in the end, we see that she accepted God's will. In verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." She accepted the word of the angel and the will that God had for her. She says, "I am your servant." She was willing to take on the challenge that God had for her. And I don't want to exaggerate this too much, but in that day and age, to be a young woman, pregnant, not married yet, how do you think this looked? If you think you had a rough situation coming up in the next few days leading up to Christmas because you're going through something hard, you might very well be. But Mary was going through something very hard as well. Pregnant, unmarried, young. We know from other scriptures that her fiancé, or fiance, I don't know how they, anyway, the male version of fiance, was probably going to put her away quietly and not marry her, divorce her type of thing. What kind of a situation is that? That's horrible. That's awful. And you know, a lot of the kids from my school, they're facing situations a lot like this where they're not sure if they're going to eat when they have these long extended periods of break time where they're at home, they're from a broken family, or they don't have one parent or the other in their life at all, and they're not sure if there's going to be food on the table, they're not sure if there's going to be a warm place to sleep, or if there's going to be an angry dad or mom that's going to yell at them. These are tough situations, and they happen to come at times when we think should be the joyous time of Christmas. All of us could be going through something rough. We could all be facing something that we could say, "Man, I can relate to Mary's situation because I've been through something like that." or my family member has gone through something like that, or my neighbor or my parents have gone through something like this, I can totally relate. The question isn't, can you relate? Because we've all gone through something rough. The question is, how do you respond? How do you respond? She says, I'm your servant. First thing she says in verse 38, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. I am your servant, is what she's saying. She was willing to take on the challenge that God had set for her. When you have something rough going on, what's your attitude towards God? Do you have this accepting, willing attitude? Are you willing to obey his plan in your life? There's a lot of things he has in store for us. Doesn't matter what age you are. You could be young, you could be old. He still has things in store for you. The question is, how are you going to respond when the going gets tough? Are you willing to follow him? You know, the interesting thing is, like I said before, she never had a lot of money. She couldn't give Jesus all of the great opportunities that wealth and a mansion and a big backyard, you know, where he could play football and have all of his buddies over, and he could go to the Ivy League school and the great schools in Lake Oswego. You know, he didn't get all of those amazing things that we would have wanted for our own kids. God did not choose those things. He chose a simple, humble servant. She couldn't offer him everything, but what she could offer him was a servant's heart as a mother. Her attitude was that whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. How would you describe your attitude? Let's go down to verse 46. Mary said, and this is kind of a, they call it a Magnificat, which is like a song that she's singing. And it's an amazing song. I wish we could kind of hear how she sang it, because it would make more sense maybe with the language she spoke and how it would fit in with the song, the music. But I'll just read the first few verses. Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state. Boy, she has a very realistic picture of herself, of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. The word in verse 46 is rejoiced. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And I wanted to look up the word rejoice. It means to basically show or feel great joy. And you know what the angel said to the shepherds? Great joy, right? This is a continuation of that same theme. She's rejoicing. She takes great joy, but what does she take great joy in? This is important because there are some denominations who don't believe that Mary needed a Savior, but she says, God, my Savior. I take great joy in God, my Savior. She acknowledges, number one, that she needs a Savior. She realized that she needed someone to save her. And we all should know this. If you don't realize this, you need a Savior too. Which is part of the gift. It is the gift that God gave you through the birth of his Son. She knew that she couldn't have a relationship with God on her own. She had to have a Savior. She needed a Savior. And she took great joy in him. And so I ask you now, are you taking great joy in Christ, our Savior? Are you taking great joy in him? What is joy? I had to look up the word joy because that's what I do. I look up words just to make sure I'm not doing the wrong thing here. So it is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. If you want to live a life of great pleasure and happiness, it comes when you have a relationship with God, your Savior. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to have a great life, maybe not a rich life where you're living in a mansion, but he wants you to have a great life. That's one of the reasons why Jesus came, was so that he could reestablish the relationship between you and God. That's why the gift was given. When you believe in Jesus Christ and accept his gift, you start this relationship with God. When you make the decision to receive him as your Savior, just as Mary recognized, and Mary did, God starts to live inside of you, and that kindles the relationship between you and him. This is why we call it joy, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I could go off on this a little bit, but I'm not going to. But joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, because once you start the relationship with God and the Spirit dwells in you, joy comes out of that relationship. You cannot have joy without understanding that you need a Savior and having a relationship with that Savior. Joy is one of the great themes that you'll see in the birth of Christ. And that's why I think, hopefully, this message will point you into a lifestyle that is joyous. And hopefully the birth of Christ will remind you to have relationship with him and to have great joy in that. Joy is one of the great themes of Jesus's birth. We see it in Mary's life. We see it in the life of or at least in the message of the shepherds. And we see it all throughout his birth. When you look at the prophets, the prophetess and the old guys that were the gal and the old guy who were in the temple, they had great joy. Joy is found all over the story of Christ's birth. Do you want to have joy like Mary? Do you want to be used like Mary was used? Basically, have a humble and submissive heart to God. In her serving and obeying God, she had joy. It all comes from her understanding that first, she needs a Savior, and two, obeying his will in her life. And those are the two steps that I want to leave you with. You can have this too, as long as you recognize that you need a Savior in your life and you're willing to bend to his will. And whatever he puts you through, whatever life brings you, whatever tough situations that you're going through, go the route that he wants you to go. Be submissive to his will. You may think that you're just like Mary. I thought in verse 48, she said this so well. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. You know, that's basically the lowly person. If you feel like you're that person, Mary did too. I don't know if you could see yourself in the life of Mary. She's female, I'm male. So there's a little bit of a difference there, but I see myself in her statements about herself. She says, "For he has had regard for the humble state." I was born and raised in Rockwood most of my life, which is a humble state, humble area. It's a lower socioeconomic. Now it's completely with the max and everything. There's drugs and all that other stuff. But you think of yourself and where you came from as a humble state of his servant, his bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. God can use you too. Doesn't matter how lowly you think you are and how not up to the task you think you are. God wants to do great things. You may feel that you aren't good enough. You aren't pretty enough. You aren't rich enough. You're not royal enough or talented or smart enough. But God loves you, and he has great things planned for you. And just as Mary obeyed God, you have the opportunity to obey God and let him do great things in your life too. And I want to end with one verse. It is Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. I love this because it talks about music here. I'll start over. So Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Interesting thing here, and I could preach just on this verse, but we got to get going here because I'm a little over time. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I think that's the heart of why God chose Mary. Not because she was rich and famous and pretty and had all of the people following her on social media, but because she served him with gladness and she came before him with joyful singing. If you want to have a joyful Christmas, it comes down to this: serving him with gladness, bending your will to his will, which means obedience, really, and being joyful in your heart as you're doing it. And when you see how God worked through Mary, he can work through us too when we take the same approach that Mary took, which is humbly come to him and obey his words.